Well, if you take your Bibles tonight and open them to John chapter 15. Now, I know I say stuff like this quite often, but this is one of my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. John chapter 15. And specifically, you're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7 tonight. And the title for the study is To Stay, Learning to Abide. One of the things that is hardest to train a excited dog to do is to stay. My daughter and I worked with our dog Cody, who is very excitable, and to get him to stay was, I mean, he would roll over, he would speak, he would do all, but the hardest thing for him to do was to stay. We'd say stay, and walk away, and finally get to a certain point and say touch, and then he'd come touch, and we'd give him a treat. But he didn't want to stay, and I think a lot of times we're like that. We don't want to stay. We enjoy being there. I enjoy abiding in the Lord more than anything I can think of, but it's so hard to stay there. Because there's so many other things that this world throws at us and so many other duties we have and so many things that we think we have to get accomplished that staying and abiding in the Lord is so difficult. And yet it's the greatest thing that I've ever come across in Scripture as far as living out the life that God has called us to live out. And so I want to begin by reading John 15, verses 5 through 7. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given you. Father, I ask that you'll bring these words to life in my life continuously. And if every person, Lord, that listens to this tonight or reads this passage or your Holy Spirit just puts it upon them, Lord, I pray that we all as Christians would understand will be so much more useful, so much more joyful, so much more in the path that you have for us if we'll just abide in you. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go through the study tonight, you'll open up our hearts and our minds to what it is you might have to say to us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 15, it goes on to say, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. In the first part of verse 5, he makes this statement, I am the vine. Now, I love it when Jesus says, I am. And we're going to be looking at some of those I am statements in just a moment. But I am literally talking about his name, who he is. I am. Yahweh or Jehovah, translated in the Old Testament as I am. In fact, it was God who spoke to Moses and told him that was his name. Remember, his name is Yahweh. All the other names for God deal with his character and works except the name Yahweh. This name describes who he is, his substance. Not what he does, which all the other names that he has shows what he does. But Yahweh describes who he is, his substance. In fact, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, Moses was freaking out about going back to Egypt. I don't know why. I mean, he was only, you know, under arrest for murder and wanted, probably had wanted posters up on every, you know, doorpost. But God says, no, I want you to go back and confront Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, Lord, who should I tell him sent me? And he said, I am. Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Yahweh, God, Lord, control of all things. His existence is based on himself, not on his works, not on what he has said, not on his promises. His existence is based on who he is. He is Yahweh, Jehovah, God. I am. So Jesus says, I am the vine. What is his purpose? Well, the vine's purpose is one purpose, and that is to supply the rest of the plant. Paul uses this picture in words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says, and my God will what? Supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's the vine and we're the branches. He's the one who supplies, just like the vine supplies the leaves and the other extensions of the plant. The vine supplies those branches. Everything you will ever need is found in him. Everything. I mean, I think we think that we need a lot of other things. Obviously, we have dreams that we think that would make us happy or make us, you know, okay or something like that. But what we really need is him. Just him. Everything that we will ever need is found in him. Why would we ever want to leave his presence? And yet, it's so easily done. You might say, well, Pastor, I spend time with the Lord in the Word every morning, but I do have to go to work and I do have to do all these other things. And so, for some reason, we tend to compartmentalize God. God, I've given you this hour this morning, and you know, I've heard what you've had to say to me, and I appreciate it so much, but now I got to go to work. And it's like, check out with God, now I got to go do my thing. God wants us to abide in him no matter where we are or what we're doing. And I found that when I remember that, and when I truly abide in him, even in the midst of other things that I'm doing, working, whatever else it is, my tendency to become me is a lot less than it is when I'm on my own, doing my own thing. His purpose is for us to remain in him. In fact, that's what the word abide or remain means. To stay, to never leave. To never leave. He's going to supply everything we need. And because of that, I just wanted to look at his provisions in every portion of our lives. These are the seven I am statements that are found in the chapter, in John. I am the bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Because who sustains us? He does. He is the bread of life. Now, he's not the physical food that we eat. He is the spiritual food that we must depend on constantly. I am the bread of life. Then he said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. When he spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of what? Life. You know, there's times in our lives that we just really need a little extra light. I think I've mentioned before, I tend to go out to the golf course very early in the morning when it's very dark. And so my wife bought me a really nice headlamp. And it's probably as bright as those as the miners use down underneath. And man, when I put that thing on, it's almost like daytime. It's just like lights up everything. It's so awesome. And I don't step in the holes that I used to step in. And it's just really awesome. That's who God is. He is the one who lights us up. He gives us wisdom and understanding. He helps us understand what we are to do, where we are to go, what we should say and shouldn't say. Everything. He's the light of the world. He then says in John chapter 10, I am the gate. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and go out and find pasture. Now, somebody once asked me, well, so you can get saved and then go out and not be saved? And that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is once you come in and you're saved, then you're able to go in and out and find pasture. What do you do in the pasture? You share food. You go out and get sustenance. The one who gives us access to the kingdom is Jesus Christ himself. I am the gate. Can't get to him any other way. Then in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He is the one who redeems us with his life. No one else could do it. No one else would ever want to do it. But Jesus chose to give up his life for us. That's why he's the good shepherd. Every shepherd was willing to put his life on the line to protect his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter 11 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? You see, when Jesus was speaking to Lazarus' sister, he said, don't you understand? The only reason I'm here is because I'm the one who can give life. Because I am the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is our only hope. I tell you, folks, people think that somehow being religious and going to a specific church or being a part of a specific group of people will somehow make them okay, and it won't. The only way to the Father is through the Son. And number 7, I am the vine, right where we are today. In fact, he started out in verse 1 and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. I am the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. He is the source of our spiritual life. In every way he's provided for us. So, why won't we stay? Why won't we want to abide in him continuously? Now, he uses this illustration that he is the vine and we are the branches. What does that mean? Well, you never see the fruit on the vine. You see it on the branches. You don't go up to a tree and pull an apple right off the bark. It didn't work that way. Jesus is saying the way this is going to work is that I am going to be the steady centerpiece of everything, supplying every need that you have so that you can bear much fruit. We're the branches. Our definition, the difference between the vine and the branches is the branch is the place where the fruit grows. The vine is the source of life. You can have a vine without any branches, but you can't have any branches without a vine. The branches carry that life out to fruitfulness. The question I have in my own life and in the lives of many churches in this nation and in this world is, are we being fruitful? And the only reason that we may not be fruitful is that we're not remaining in the vine. It's not our job to go out on our own and try to be fruitful. It's our job to remain in the vine so that through us, he can be fruitful. A branch can be trimmed, pruned, even cut off. But if you cut off the vine, you have nothing. So what is our purpose? It is to abide. That's what Jesus says in this passage, to stay. The Greek word here, meno, means to come and stay. Make your home here. I think many of us treat prayer as one of the disciplines of a religious life, but prayer is abiding in the life of the vine wherever we are at all times. It's the connection that should never be severed. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. Stay in the attitude and understanding that we're in the presence of the Father no matter where physically we are. In fact, David said it like this in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where could I go from your spirit, Lord? Where could I flee from your presence? If I went to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. In other words, David knew, he says, no matter where I am, if I'm hiding in a cave with my men, if I'm standing on top of a citadel, no matter where I am, you're there with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed or abiding in Him. God is looking for people who will abide in Him so that He can use us to reach out and be fruitful to other people. Is it possible for a branch to be cut off, disconnected from the vine, and still produce or bear fruit? No. God says if we abide in Him, and He in us, we probably will bear much fruit. We will bear much fruit. Not we'll have to wait and see. He said we will bear much fruit. So, again, here's the idea. If we're not being fruitful as a person individually, if we're not being fruitful as a body of Christ, what is the problem? The problem is a disconnect. The problem is that we're trying to be all the things we're supposed to be without abiding in Him. And it'll never work. Are you bearing fruit? If you're not, it's an abiding issue. It's not a knowing Scripture issue. It's not a prayer issue. It's not a you don't praise the Lord. It's you're not abiding with Him. I'm not abiding with Him when I'm not bearing fruit. Our production. What did Jesus say? If you remain in me and my word remains in you, you will what? You'll bear much fruit. God wants us to bear much fruit, not just, you know, a piece every once in a while. He wants us to bear much fruit. In fact, look at verse 2. It says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He trims clean so that it will be even more fruitful. Look at the condition of bearing fruit. It's not if we work harder. It's not if we go to church more. It's not if we quote verses or give great sums of money or visit the sick. It is to abide in Him to stay. I think so many people have got it all backwards, thinking that to do all these things will make us acceptable to Him. We're already accepted because of what Jesus has done for us. Now He wants us to stay. In fact, how sad is it that Jesus was speaking to a church body when He said in Revelation chapter 3, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you'll open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with you and you with me. I believe there's lots of churches where Jesus is standing outside knocking, asking to come in. He wants us to stay. This is the fruitful connection that's been discounted way too long. We are so driven by goals and production and what I think has to happen. We're so driven by that that we've missed the thing that is the only thing that matters. And that's abiding in Christ. Stay. When do you get in trouble? When you don't stay. When do you mess up? When you don't stay. When do you say something you wish you hadn't said? When you're not staying. If we'll just get the right thing right, everything else will come into place. Sounds like seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you as well. We need to stay. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You'll help us stay. Help me to stay. Lord, so often I find my mind wandering other places, and I get off track, and I'm frustrated about something, or something's just bothering me, or whatever, and it's so easy to get there, Lord. I don't want to be there. I want to be with You. I want to be in Your presence. I want to be, Lord, where You want me to be, so that I can be fruitful for Your cause, to reach people as an ambassador of Christ. Lord, help us to stay. And never leave. That's my prayer for me. And that's my prayer for every person who knows You. That we'll stay and never leave. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.